I am his and he is mine. What more profound experience could you ever have in this side of eternity? To know that you're safe in your Savior's hands and your guilt and your sin has been taken care of. To be set free, to have victory in Christ. Good morning, church. We praise God together this morning. Thank you for the warm welcome you have given to my wife, Linda, and myself. Most of you had warm hands, and you all have warm hearts, and we rejoice over that. I am Mike Brubaker, interim pastor here at Community Bible Church, and so it's our delight to begin this new year with you, and want to extend a welcome to those who are guests with us and those who are joined us online as well. We have a topic going forward as far as a sermon series. It's from the book of Colossians that I have titled Family Home. And this morning, in a few minutes, we're going to have some family time together. Before I go there, because I am an interim pastor, you may understand that our church is in a time of pastoral transition. And I would like to have the opportunity over the weeks ahead to sit down with, like, every one of you and kind of get to know you kind of conversation. In fact, I'll be asking every one of you the same 10 questions, and I'll post those 10 questions for you in our communication in the days ahead so you can think ahead of time what Mike may want to talk about. Nothing too intimidating, believe me, but it's a great way to connect and kind of get started and involved in the ministry here very quickly. And to be praying with you, to be on the journey together with you in what the Lord has for us in this year ahead. Just to let you know that at the close of every service, most every service, I would like to extend to you my personal time, my wife Linda as well. We want to remain down front here right after the closing song. To be available, if you want to greet us, that's fine. But primarily, if you have something on your heart, a burden or something you need to share or have someone pray with you, Linda and I would like to do that with you before you leave. So thank you for hanging around for a few minutes after the service and visiting and fellowship together, getting to know each other better. But please know that we are here to pray with you. So we'd like to make ourselves available for you in that way. Our study is from the book of Colossians, and I would like to have you open your Bible or follow along on the screen to Colossians chapter 1. I'd like to read the first 14 verses. And to introduce this, Colossians was written by the Apostle Paul from prison, as well as Ephesians and Philippians and Philemon. And in the communication he had with these three churches and this other individual, Philemon, was through a gentleman by the name of Epaphras, who historians would say most likely was one of the pastors originally of Colossae, the church of Colossae. And Paul himself did not establish that church, but it was through Timothy and perhaps most likely Epaphras. And Epaphras was the USPS guy at that day for Paul. It took some time to get these letters delivered from Rome to Asia Minor. And so as I read these texts Sundays with you, one of the interesting things would be just to stop and say, what would it be like to be sitting in a church and hearing this for the first time from your dear friend, brother in Christ, your mentor, the Apostle Paul as he writes to us as a church from prison. And so before I read, I'd like to pray and just ask God to continue to show us his way through this immense and precious letter to the Church of Colossae, describing ultimately and having us understanding that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Let's pray. Father, we look to you this morning, your presence with us. We thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are his and he is ours. And Father, for that kind of salvation, that redemption, that glorious place that you have brought us into, safe within the everlasting arms of Almighty God, and to be held close to your chest, to your breast, to be loved by you and held secure every day. We thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that is able and willing to teach us as we go through these texts together, and that through the Word of God and the Spirit of God working alive here this morning, we can understand in a far greater way your glory. Lord, thank you for being our sustainer, our provider, our glorious King that will soon return. We look to you, Lord, for that kind of wisdom and input that we need in living in a time as we are right now, in this new year ahead. Thank you, Lord, that we can meet with you here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith and in Christ Jesus, and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the love laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. As we take some time over the next weeks or months here together at Community Bible Church, one of the things that we could do in regards to family time together would be engaging in an activity called a journey wall. I'm just calling it that because I didn't know what else to call it. A journey wall would mean, let's say the church is 60 or more years old, that for every decade of our church history, we would have a big piece of paper on the wall, maybe 10 of them for all, one for each of the 10 years. And over the weeks ahead, we would all walk around with our pens and let the rest of us know what special thing happened in every decade as you have been involved or engaged in the church here. Maybe it was the day or the year that you came to Christ. So you put that testimony on a certain piece of paper in the 1970s, for example. Maybe it's the day you were baptized. Maybe it's the moment that we moved into a new building. There's all kinds of things about our story here at Community Bible Church that would be great to see written down by everybody in this journey wall, and then take some time later on and just go through and read everybody's observation, pulling together the story of Community Bible Church. I don't know. I'm just thinking that's kind of what we would do when we're telling our story as a church. And every church has a story. When we come to a letter like the book of Colossians, obviously it's written to a church that has a story. And you would think maybe that one of the possible ways of presenting this material would be for Paul and Epaphras to write the story of the church of Colossae, exactly how it started and what year, which we really don't know for sure. We're not absolutely certain who the first pastor was or the founding pastor. Most likely Epaphras, could have been Timothy. And the church itself being in a small town in the high hills of southeast Turkey, 100 miles away from the seacoast. You just would begin to wonder, how did this church start? How did the gospel get up there in the hills to this town of Colossae? And who were the first believers? And who were the ones who invested deeply in the beginning of that church, both time and money and prayer and how did it all work out? So there's a background story here that we know nothing about. Well, the Lord in his sovereignty saw to it that we don't know much of that material. And here's the reason why, perhaps. As Paul writes this letter to the book of Colossians, he somehow, I would imagine, has us sitting around our family room, being at home and having some family time together. And it's not Paul figuratively standing in the center of the room telling us or having us review with him the story of our church, how things came about and where we are and how we got to where we are right now. Instead, he's presenting this letter with the understanding that we're sitting around the circle in this large living room. We're at home. We're having family time together. And in the middle of that room, figuratively, is God's presence. And God, through his word, is not telling us our story, but God is telling us his story. That is really the best approach to any book of the Bible. This scripture that you hold in your hand ultimately is God's story, not your story. God is always presenting his story as he is revealing himself and his work and his ways to those whom he has made, whether it be through general revelation or specific revelation as we have it here in Scripture through the Word of God. So the first comment that Paul makes as he writes this book in verse 3, he says, we always thank God. That's where he starts. We always thank God that we have this experience, this privilege of being a church together, and his presence is here to teach us his way. Our creator, the one who knows every detail about our lives and our world and has brought all things together in creation into perfection, and even in the rebellion and sin of mankind, God has provided a way through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for us to be redeemed, to be set free of the guilt and sin, of the sin that we have, and have what is described as true life in Christ, having a relationship with the one who made us. God Almighty. He honors God at the very beginning as the presence of God makes all the difference here at Community Bible Church. That's where we begin. The presence and the glory and the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God. Everything about his character, as Brother Choi read from Psalm 145, read that whole psalm, how his mighty works and his interaction with mankind and how mankind is responding to who he is and blessed by the experience of having a relationship with him as a man or woman of God. God is always telling us his story as we go through these texts. The second thing that Paul writes here is that God is telling us his story, but it's through Jesus Christ. In fact, all three titles of Jesus are given here. It says, the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you ever stop and think about how that all works out and why Jesus has such a long name? Well, first of all, Christ is not his last name. You knew that, right? And so the titles, Lord Jesus Christ, mean so much. In fact, it begins, the story of that title, those three titles put together, begins in Isaiah chapter 61. And you have heard these texts before, because in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus, right after the temptation in the wilderness, he comes back to Nazareth to begin his ministry. And in Luke chapter 4, we have the record there, as Luke describes, that he walked into the synagogue as a hometown boy, and the scroll in that synagogue just happened to be opened up to Isaiah chapter 61. In fact, Isaiah is the gospel of God through Jesus Christ for the Hebrew people, as in many ways, like we would think of the gospel of John as being our gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus moves the scroll around just a little bit to find these words that were referenced from the book of Isaiah. And he says, this is me. This text is speaking of me. And so let me read these words. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord, that is Yahweh, has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. In those few sentences, we have the description of the titles, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord is the idea that God is sovereign over all. Our Creator, our sovereign God, our Lord, the one who is almighty, the one who has all knowledge and all power and all presence, and there is none like him. He is God over all other gods, and God of the universe, and he is totally apart from humankind in that way, that he alone is God, and we cannot be God. Did you ever try to be God? But God is above all. He is sovereign over all. The Lord, sovereign. The word Jesus, or the title Jesus, is similar to the Old Testament name Joshua, which means victor or savior. And so we know the story of redemption, that Jesus was born in this world and as the Son of God, and he himself is God, as it says later on in the book of Colossians. And he lived among us to only eventually die and was buried and rose again the third day. And in that victory, ascended into heaven. And because of that work of Christ, we too are given the hope and the understanding that when he did it for you individually by name. When Jesus was hanging there on the cross, he was there taking the punishment for Mike's sin. When he was buried, I was buried with him. By name, he had me in mind. He was buried, which we gave every indication that he truly was dead. And 3 days later, when he rose from the grave, he rose with my name in mind. He rose for me. That this Savior, this one who loved me in this kind of way with such incredible sacrifice, allows me the privilege and the joy by faith in him personally and having a relationship with him now that I can call my God, my Savior, the one who did for me something I could never do for myself. I cannot save myself. My sovereign God, my Savior God, and then the title Christ. Christ the Messiah, same idea, same word. But all of that relates to the fact that he is and will be king. King of the universe, the promised Messiah, the one that comes back and sets up his kingdom here in this world. And the one that is the expectant one by the people of the Jews. So the sovereign Lord has come, and he has come to heal and to cleanse and to provide for the brokenhearted, all for the purpose that one day there will be the Lord's favor experienced when Jesus Christ returns again and sets up his kingdom here on this earth, the King of the world. God, the one who is present with us, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, our sovereign Savior King among us. And he is the one whom this letter addresses, and through him speaks to us this incredible blessing and guidance for the church, in not only our church in this time in which we live, but for all God's people around the world even today as the head of the church. So let's then return to the book of Colossians chapter 1, verse 4. It says, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. That very fact that Jesus, the sovereign Savior King, present with us, teaching us his ways, is the one whom we now worship, and we're raising up his name among us and the world around us. That there's one comment, there's one idea, there's one purpose in life, perhaps more important than anything else that we could ever be engaged in, and that is to say and to speak and to sing and to worship the name of Jesus Christ. Because of the living hope that we have. Our sister read for us from 1 Peter chapter 1. And did you see what we said together there in verse 4? About this inheritance. Peter says it this way. He says that we are blessing God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ because, or according to his great mercy, that he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To what kind of an inheritance? I don't know that you can compare this kind of inheritance with anything else here in this world. An inheritance, my friend, that is imperishable. What does that mean? It can never be taken from us. It never grows old. It doesn't rust. It doesn't decay. It is eternal. Our inheritance is undefiled. It's pure. It's perfect. There's nothing that's wrong with it. God never makes a mistake. It's undefiled in the fact that it will never be tarnished because it's His inheritance that He has given to us, what we have in Christ Jesus. And it's unfading. Anybody here over 70 like I am? We kind of have our own personal stories of, can I say it? Fading? All right. So something that's unfading. It has the same amount of purpose, or we could say energy or value. It not only never grows old, but it's always alive. It's always there. It's always present. Our inheritance that we have in Jesus Christ that is laid up for us in heaven. And that's the reason, the joy, the very value that we have as a body of Jesus Christ here at Community Bible Church, that gives us a reason even to meet together, to rejoice, to grow in it, and to discover more and more about this great inheritance that is ours already in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's unfading. It's not, it never perishes. It's always of greatest value. It's always true. It's always alive. In fact, may I say this? God's word is always, always, always relevant. Always, at some level, it's always relevant to us today. You could never say appropriately that certain texts or certain places in Scripture is irrelevant for us today. Why would God give that to us to study from and to know, even first and foremost, this is God's story, and anything there is about God's story is relevant for you and I today? That's hope that's laid up in heaven for us. And then he says, after the idea that we're always raising up this praise and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul goes on to write, he says, of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing as it does among you since the day we heard it, and or you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, so that we learned it from our fellow brother, Epaphras, who is a faithful minister of Christ in your behalf. He has made known to us your love in the Spirit, that this gospel, this inheritance that we have, and the working of God by His Spirit in through the Word of God in the Church of Jesus Christ, that we have received this new good news. You may say, well, yeah, that's kind of like understood. We don't ever have to talk about that. You know, we know what it is. But let me just stop and say, you would agree that every one of us has our own testimony, our own personal story of how God in His Spirit reached us, no matter where we were, as lost in the world and without Christ. And by His Spirit drew us to Himself, and what it took, truly the power of God in some situations, to break the will, to break our will, so that we would be humble enough to come before God and say, God, I'm done. I can't do this myself anymore. I need you more than anything else I need in life. It's not money, it's not relationships, it's not power, it's not a job. more than anything else, I need you. And I believe your word is true, even if I don't understand everything that's being said here. You received the gospel, and then he praises them or honors the fact that they not only received it, but they are also speaking it to those around them. That the church is alive. It's a living organism. It's not an organization. It's a living organism that's alive. It's moving around. It's growing. It's talking. It's touching other people's lives, communicating the good news. What Christ has done here, he can also do for you and you and you. And so God's Spirit obviously was very much alive in this church of Colossae. There was so much good things to say. They were a healthy church in so many ways. And Paul honors that as he writes to them. And then, I just love what comes next. Not that I didn't love what's been said in the first part of the chapter, but what comes next is Paul says, hey, I'm praying this prayer about you. And I'm asking Paul, are these words your words, or are they God's words, or how did this happen that you could speak such incredible, precious truth of instruction and life and intention directly to my heart? And the answer to that is, yeah, this is God's word, and God was speaking through Paul through these words. And it seems as if God is present there in that family time, around that family circle in that living room at these moments, in the person of Jesus Christ telling God's story of redemption that's now being communicated and experienced in this local church. And in and through this prayer, he's like commissioning God's work among them. The work that had already been started, he's commissioning. I don't know if you could say recommissioning, but he's reminding the church through this prayer of what God is doing in your heart, in your heart, in my heart right now, that allows me to stay alive, that is, in my faith. Not just to hang on, by a thread, but to be growing in my faith, to be experiencing personally the power of God in my life. And this prayer is indeed one of those prayers that would be an outstanding prayer for you and I to pray for each other in our concerns for one another. Whatever's going on in my brother or sister's life, to include this prayer as part of that faith journey that God is at work here. And even though there are days where we don't see it or we don't experience it, yet we trust the faithful one that he never gives up. He never leaves us. And he is still at work. And there is whatever the trouble that is going on in my life right now or in the world around me right now, I know ultimately because of this prayer that God never makes a mistake. And I can trust him for that. Let's look at the prayer very briefly. He says three things. He says, I'm asking that you may be filled. He's saying that you would walk in a manner worthy. And he's also saying that we are being strengthened with all power. Let me go back and take one of these phrases individually. I'm asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. You know, that is far more than just getting the facts. we need to gather the facts. We need to be students of the Word of God and to hear each other's testimonies of how God is working among us. But to be personally experiencing those facts. And to know that in my faith journey, what is real and active and that I experience in my world today is perhaps different from years ago. I'm not suggesting we would always have a different understanding, but I'm saying we're growing in our faith, just as a baby, you know, grows from infancy through adolescence and through young adulthood, so in my faith, I have a faith journey that's growing. And I can wake up most mornings and sometimes say, especially as I watch the news or hear what's going on in the world around me, that like nothing surprises me anymore. That's the negative way of looking at things, perhaps. But the positive or the healthy way of looking at my world and experience my world as a man or woman of God right now is that God is still on the throne. And no matter what is going on in my life, I can not only learn something, but there is a purpose for my life, and I can never say that I can't do something because God's power is here and to work in my life, and that we would be filled with the knowledge of God and have that kind of wisdom of God and understanding, which is able to put truth into practice and to have that kind of experience where I can share with others the goodness of God, to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, that he would not be ashamed. In fact, someone said this way. He said, to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord would be the same as praying that, Lord, when I get to heaven and live with you eternally, may that same experience be mine today in being with Jesus, to be walking with you, to be in your presence, that there be nothing that distracts or dirties my experience today as I would one day be with you in glory, to walk worthy of the manner of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And verse 11, to be strengthened with power, with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience. This is probably more a personal testimony than just an observation of others, but do you know how hard it is? And sometimes we incorrectly try to do something we shouldn't be doing, and that is to change somebody else's mind or will. When you're married, you don't do things like that, right? But even working with children or even elderly parents, you know how hard it is to change somebody's mind or will? To have them experience a new kind of reality, to trust, you know, just hear me, trust me kind of idea. The Spirit of God does that for you and I, convicts us. It is the only power that breaks a stubborn will. And whatever your testimony is that God has used or done in your life, that you are now sitting here today as a believer in Jesus Christ in a very different place than where you once were. The power of God to change things. And ultimately, to be giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you, who has given you the privilege, who has brought you into that place where you share in the inheritance of the saints of light. Well, going back to the whole inheritance idea, this must be a big thing for the Apostle Paul, right? He has an inheritance. It has nothing to do with earthly things or money or, you know, just power or authority. But it's one day to be in the presence of God and experiencing him free from the sins and cares of this world and to be in glory with him. But that experience, Paul is reminding us right now, is already yours in Christ Jesus. It's set, guaranteed for you. You do not need to question whether or not you're getting it. You already have it. And if you know you already have it, you have that joy, that privilege of already now living it in so many ways. Just allowing God's Spirit to fill my heart and fill our lives, to work in his glorious ways through our church, to live out the inheritance that we already have of faithfulness, of trusting God, of believing, of growing, being filled with His Spirit, being directed in healthy, godly, and good ways. Now, verse 13 and 14, the closing text here. As we go back to the living room of this family time here at Community Bible Church, as we are sitting around this room here together in our living room, this family time that we have, the Lord Jesus Christ is here sharing His story, beginning to share His story with us through this text, God's story. But we together have decided and understand there's probably one really special thing we could do. Forgive me for maybe going off the rails here a bit, but I'm just trying to put this picture together. And someone says, hey, I'd love to take a selfie or a picture of us, okay? So there's a family picture taken of the local church, of Community Bible Church, and we're all standing there together, crowded, and trying to get all of our faces on this picture. And the picture is printed, and we put it up on the wall. And the reason we're doing this is because we want to remind ourselves of who we are in Jesus Christ, because the caption of that picture will read, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That the Lord Jesus Christ, His story is the fact that He has brought us as a church, as a fellowship, as brothers and sisters in Christ, from where? Out of darkness into His everlasting life. John 4 states it this way. It says, we are delivered out of darkness into everlasting life. We pass over from death to life because of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. To have experienced the grip and the imprisonment of sin and destruction and so many unworldly things that press in around us, and that today, here in this place of worship, we as a family celebrate the fact that that prison no longer exists, that we pass over from death to life, that we are redeemed by the blood of Christ. And it's not the story of Community Bible Church, that's the most important. But over that picture is the cross of Christ, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus' story, God's story for us. So may that be your story this morning. With this question I'd like to ask you. We heard about that God's story. But is God's story your story this morning? Is it your story? We talked about this story of God's story maybe being our story, but yet there's still individuals, individually, you, is it your story? Have you made it your story? Have you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you'd like to talk more about that with me, Linda and I will be up here soon after we sing the last song, and love to pray with you and just have you understand the best that we know how to explain to you the very simple fact that Jesus lived for you, He died for you, He rose again for you, so that you would have eternal life through faith and trust in Him. To know this joy, the privilege, and it is the hope that we have, the reality of this inheritance that is imperishable, it's unfading, it's alive, and our life is no longer ours, but it is His. It's His story. And perhaps there's one of us here this morning that is understood now that Maybe my story, your story, isn't working out. What I had planned and what I wanted to do as far as purpose and fixing things or directing, I'm just lost and I need Christ. Today's the day for you to open up your heart and say, Lord, I trust you. Will you come into my life? I believe what you say. Even though I don't understand how it all works, I need you and thank you for being here for me. I understand that you are present here just for me. Let's pray. Father, we have understood through these texts what it means ultimately to be a new creation in Christ. I thank you that we have these words of hope and of life for this new year. Lord, we always need this kind of promise and that we hold dear to our hearts. But Lord, we understand that your grip on us is by far a greater grip than what we have on you. Thank you for being patient with us individually as a church. Thank you for your loving kindness and for your power and for your strength and going ahead of us and providing for our needs even before we ask in so many ways. Thank you, Lord, that the life that we live is because of Jesus Christ and it's only you. And we give our life to you. May your will be done. We surrender, Father, through our worship and singing together right now, that you would be glorified. And we have this promise that you're here with us and we carry it with you wherever we go. We love you, Jesus, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.